Today we're going to look at Jesus' interactions with a rich young ruler to help us on this journey of identifying and then overcoming our idols, the idols that are in our lives that distract us from finding satisfaction in Jesus. If we are going to grow as Christians that relentlessly pursue Jesus, we have to forsake our idols. They are mutually exclusive. We can't live out both of them. And my prayer for us this morning is that we would try our best with the Spirit's guidance to be able to see ourselves in this text this morning. Because through the rich young ruler, we are going to be introduced to two potential idols in our lives. So let's jump to the proposition. The proposition is that achievement and wealth are idols that cannot satisfy any real need. It can't do it. And by achievement, I mean the desire to build a life for oneself that looks good externally. For some, it brings satisfaction for people to look at the external parts of our lives and to think that they have it all together. Isn't this one of the reasons why social media is so prevalent these days? Because with social media, we're drawn to things like Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram, because there you can take pictures and videos, capture that best snapshot of your life, and blast it onto social media so everybody who's looking sees, man, their life is awesome. And if you do it good enough, if you capture the right moment, if you say the right thing, you'll get a little heart, or you'll get a like, or you'll get a retweet. So, all that people see is the snapshot that you allow them to. And we can let everybody see the funny, the entertaining, and the shiny, glittery parts of our lives and build up that external life to others. And by wealth, I mean the desire to find satisfaction and to find security in material things like money, like possessions. For some, it brings them satisfaction to have that certain possession or to have a certain amount of money. And they will strive and they will make choices that are less than God's best. Remember, throughout this series, that's what we've said that sin is. Trying to live out and for something that's less than God's best so that they can have a certain feeling of security. The rich young ruler struggled with both idols in his life. So let's see how it brought him satisfaction. Let's read our text. So Matthew 19, and we're going to be in verses 16 to 26. And let's read this together as a church. It says, "And someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' Then he said to him, 'Well, which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I've kept. What am I still lacking?' Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, 'Then who can be saved?' And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.'" Now, the exchange between the rich young ruler and Jesus, it is intense. I mean, Jesus put him, what did I say now? They put him on blast. So let's call the rich young ruler rich from here on out. So as we begin to unpack this text, we must remember that rich was the one that approached Jesus. He sought him out. So there was something going on in Rich. He wanted something from Jesus. He asked a question of him. But because his heart craved something other than God, something other than God held the primary affections of his heart, he walked away from that conversation grieving. And the disciples, they watched all of this unfold. Now, can you imagine just sitting there watching Jesus talk to Rich about this? Like, whoa. Idols will leave you feeling empty. And as we unpack the text, please do not disconnect from this. Don't think to yourself, well, I don't struggle with money. I don't have any of it. I don't struggle with possessions. I don't struggle with achievements. So this text is not for me. Because remember, what we're after in this series is not the specific thing. You may struggle with this like I do. You may struggle with putting family before God's best. You may struggle with using your time for yourself. We all have different idols. But the intention behind that, what's happening in the heart, is the same no matter what the idol is. So don't disconnect this morning. We can all find ourselves in the rich young ruler. So let's do it. Let's jump into the first point. The first point is that keeping the law cannot lead to fulfillment. It cannot happen. It will never happen. Following a set of standards will not result in satisfaction. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Romans in Romans 3. He says this. He says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law." Why? "So that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law," and here it is, "no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." So for the person who seeks to keep the law, to the person who seeks to make their life look good by focusing on external things without that internal desire for Jesus, there's no fulfillment in that person's future. Keeping the law never leads to justification. We are not made right with God because of what we do, because we obey a set of standards. We're made right with God because we put all of our hope in his Son. And his Son was the only one that lived this life keeping that set of standards perfectly. And then we are free to follow. We are free to obey. And we are free to find fulfillment, not in all these trappings, but in Jesus himself. Now, Rich does not know this yet. He has not come to know Jesus the way that we know him. So he has questions. He comes to him with these questions. And in verse 16, we get the first question. He says, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" I intentionally read that on purpose that way. So, you know, the focus for Rich is himself. What can I do? How may I do this? He thinks there's a set of standards that he can accomplish on his own that would make himself worthy of God. So Jesus responds to him in our next verse. In verse 17, Jesus says, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who's good. But if you wish to enter life, if you want to do it, keep the commandments." So remember what we learned about God during life group last week. And we had such a great time combining our life groups, just seeing some different faces there. We learned that humans only have the capacity to look at the external. We're not built like God in that regard. God has the ability to look inside the heart and to see what's really there. So Jesus already knows Rich's heart. He's not like us who's trying to figure out what's going on in the external, and so it says something about the internal. He knows that Rich and his life is focused on self-achievement, doing what he can do, what he can earn. So, just like we learn in Romans 1, Jesus allows Rich to think through this idol, to kind of experience it. And Jesus says, okay, if you want eternal life, obey the commandments. You obey them all, you'll have eternal life. And as a devout Jew, Rich knows there's over 600 commandments in Torah that he has to follow. So then we get the next question. In verse 18, he asks, well, which commandment? There's a whole bunch of them. And Jesus simplifies all of those commandments in verses 18 and 19. And Jesus actually quotes the Ten Commandments in some form or fashion in Exodus 20. But Jesus shares the commandments, only the commandments, about how a Jew should relate to another person. It's kind of interesting. There's a set of commandments in the Ten Commandments that are about how a Jew should relate to God. And he doesn't list those. It's just how he should be interacting with his fellow man. Jesus chooses the more external commandments because that's Rich's focus. He's not really focused on a relationship with God. He's focused on the external. Then in verse 20, Rich says to him, all of these things I've kept. I've done it. So what am I still lacking? Rich thinks that he has kept all the commandments that Jesus has told him about that would lead to eternal life. And he still sees a deficiency in his life, which is why he asks, what am I still lacking? I'm doing it all, Jesus. Even though Rich kept the law, observed it to the best of his ability, there is still a feeling of lack in his life and in his heart. And underneath all of that external obedience was dissatisfaction. He may have been a pillar of his community. People may have pointed at Rich and said, "That's, you want to know what it's like to be a devout Jew? It's Rich. Take a look at him. He's got it." But underneath, he's dissatisfied. All that external obedience did nothing for his heart. So the question is that you this morning? Are you just trying and trying and trying and doing and doing and doing, and there's no satisfaction in your heart? I've been there. It's my struggle too. This is the result of the idol of achievements. It really doesn't fulfill needs. It doesn't. Making your external life look good while neglecting your heart will lead to dissatisfaction every single time. So Jesus led Rich to this point so he could expose another idol in his life. And that brings us to our second point. And the second point is that finding satisfaction in wealth, it competes with Jesus' call to follow. Wealth gives a person a false sense of security. God wants you to feel secure. He does. And he promises security to you. But not through wealth, not through possessions, but through Jesus and what he accomplished for you on the cross. So let's see how Jesus responds to Rich's acknowledgement of his unfulfillment. He just said, Jesus, what do I still lack? And Jesus tells him, in verse 21, he says, if you wish to be complete, what? Go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Jesus says, if you want to be complete, if you want to be whole, to view all of those worldly gains as if they are losses. This command from Jesus revealed what brought dissatisfaction to Rich. Rich was satisfied with his possessions. He wanted to amass treasure for himself on earth. And here's Rich talking to Jesus, and wealth and possessions ultimately did not satisfy the heart, even though that's what he enthroned on his heart. So this is Jesus' call to all of us, not just to Rich. Whatever it is that is holding the primary affections of your heart, that's not Jesus. He wants you to give up. That's the thing. You know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. He wants to be the one that you go to for that fulfillment, that you turn to in that moment where you're craving and you need that instant satisfaction. Jesus wants us to apply the words of Paul that we just finished studying in our pursuit series. Philippians 3:7, Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever is gain in your life, whatever that is not God's best in your life, is a loss. And if you cannot confess this, if you cannot acknowledge this, if you continue to rationalize and to excuse this, whatever it is that grips your heart, you cannot continue in that pursuit of Jesus. The idol of wealth, whatever the idol that's in your heart that holds those affections, that grips your heart, it's not going to lead to satisfaction. If Rich forsakes the idol of wealth, if he finds satisfaction in what Jesus is saying, finding that security in Jesus, he will be able to follow Jesus and have treasure in heaven. Jesus wants to give what's exactly on Rich's heart. But it's not through the way that Rich thinks it is. It's through giving away that he actually receives. And this is the call of the Christian. In this temporary life, we will reject worldly gains. We will reject worldly pleasures. That's not God's best. And we do this because of what we know is there at the end. Because we get to follow Jesus. We get to have him as treasure. God's treasure will satisfy you than any earthly treasure. So let's see Rich's response. So Jesus just calls him out. Let's see what Rich does. Verse 22 says, when the young man heard the statement, he went away grieving. Why? For he was one who owned much property. So Rich came to Jesus. He wanted this question answered. He knew there was something lacking in his life. Jesus answered him. It wasn't the answer he was expecting. And those words brought sadness to Rich. Rich's life was focused on the idol of achievement and the idol of wealth. And Jesus invited him, said, give it up, forsake it. Follow me, and you will experience all those things that you desire for your heart. But Rich could not let his idols go. And we do not want to be like Rich. We don't want to say for another day that all of these things, the relationships and all the stuff that glitters in this world, that it is holding our heart's affection instead of Jesus. I don't want to go another day saying that about myself. But this is human nature. We gather on Sunday mornings. It's because we want to hear from Jesus through the scriptures. I know it's not really to listen to me for 25, 30, 35 minutes droning on. It's because you want to hear Jesus. But some of us may not feel this way. Some of us may not really want Jesus. We're still convinced that this is more entertaining than God. Or this can give you something better than God. That our relationships can still give us something better than God. I know. Some of us still feel that way. We want the idol in our lives more than we want Jesus. But it's not going to lead to satisfaction because Jesus really is the superior treasure. He offers himself to you this morning, church, and says, follow me. Give up on those things. Follow me this morning. So if you wish to be complete, you must reject the idols in your life. Why? Because we have the ability to receive something that is better, that is the best. But it is human tendency, just like Rich, to hear God's word. We come to him with our questions, he answers them, and we say, nah, I don't want that. Jesus offers us his riches, and we reject them for the temporary pleasure that the idol gives us. And our remaining verses tells us why. So let's get to our third point. The third point is that God delivers those who are consumed with achievement and wealth. It's God and it's God alone. There's no amount of self-achievement that can do this for us. The pull to find satisfaction in idols, it is tremendous. Rich could not find the strength in himself to forsake his idols. He couldn't do it. The enemy, our flesh, the culture that we live in will tell us and send this message over and over to us that there's nothing wrong with it. You're not hurting anyone. It's okay. All the time. They'll tell you to work those extra hours, to sacrifice for that achievement, to stay in that relationship when you know deep down it's not bringing you satisfaction. Because it's not hurting anyone. But Jesus' call to us is something greater. It is something sweeter. And he uses Rich's example. He shifts. He goes from rich. He's gone now. And he goes right back to his disciples to drive home the point that he really wants them to get that Rich was unwilling to accept. In verse 23, Jesus says this. He says, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice he says that it's hard. He doesn't say it never happens. All right? He's intentional with his word choice. If the enemy has used riches to replace Jesus, the person will think they have no need for a savior. If you're finding satisfaction in possessions and wealth, and they are there, why do you need a savior? Your savior is your riches. In verse 24, Jesus reinforces this and he gives us an example. He says, again, I say to you, It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus gives us an example. So picture a nasty camel. If you got to close your eyes and get in your mind's eye, picture a camel right now. And picture the eye of a needle. Get that in your head. It is easier to fit a camel through the eye of a needle than for a man who is consumed by his riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. Here's the thing that Jesus is saying. There's no physical way this can happen. It does not happen. It can't happen physically. And that's exactly Jesus' point. A person cannot deliver themselves from their consumed life of idols. They can't do it on their own. Only Jesus can do it. So let's see how the disciples react to Jesus. Let's see if they walk away grieving. Let's see what their response is. In verse 25, it says that when they heard this, they were very astonished, and then they pose him a question. It's like, if this is true, then who can be saved? Who can come to know the source of life if this is true? So Jesus' disciples, they were astonished. They were shocked that Jesus would say something like this. And they applied Jesus' specific teaching with the rich young ruler and his idol of wealth and achievement, and they apply it to everybody. That's why I told you in the beginning of the sermon, don't think that if you don't struggle with wealth, this isn't for you. Because the disciples didn't respond this way. They took this teaching for everyone, whether it's wealth or not, that holds the affection of your heart. They say, who can be saved? If salvation is comparable to pushing a camel through the eye of a needle, how can anyone be saved? Let's see. Jesus brings the disciples to this point in order to shatter all of our self-centered notions of our own external obedience. Verse 26, Jesus says, I love this, that Jesus looks them straight in the eye, gets to right to their level, looks them dead in the eye, man to man. And he says this, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus looks directly into their eyes. He wants them to get this. He wants them to experience salvation. He wants them to find himself as the most satisfying of pursuits. And then he says, it's impossible. You can't do it. There's no way that you can do it. We can't do it. We cannot give up our idols on our own. Rich could not give up his idols of achievement and of possessions and wealth. We can't give up on our pride. We can't give up of our insatiable desire for entertainment. We can't give up our need for substances on our own. We can't give up on our desire for connections that aren't God's best. We can't do it. And we can't focus on the idol of religion to help us to do it. Rich thought that there was something he could do, that he could keep, that he could obey, that could lead to the satisfactions of his heart. And you may be here right now because there's something that you feel like you can do to make yourself feel right with God. And Jesus says, we can't do it. We don't got it in us. We don't have the ability, nor do we really have the real desire to give up on those things because we love them. It makes us feel so good. We can turn them whenever we want, instant access, and we get instant gratification when we turn to them. This is why it's impossible. The Greek word that Jesus used here for impossible is a dunaton. It's where we get the word for dynamite. It's pure power. A dunaton means no power. Jesus is saying, with people, there's no power to do this. We are completely powerless to do this. But then he says, with God, God has the power. He is the only one that can deliver you from whatever it is that's holding the affections of your hearts. So over the past couple weeks, you've heard of my own struggle with idols. What has been my pride, my shame that motivates the pride, the desire for entertainment and information that technology provides. You've heard me be real, just vulnerable before you about my struggle. And when I confess these things to God and pray that he gives me the power, because I don't, I'm powerless, I find that he provides. that he equips. God alone can deliver us from the power and the temptation of the idols that are enthroned in the affections of our hearts. And that's God's promise to you too. It's not just to me. It's available to all of us. The idol in your life cannot really fulfill you. You cannot overcome this idol on your own. Like Rich, you'll go to Jesus. You'll pose your questions to him. You'll hear his response, and then you'll walk away every time. But God wants to deliver you, and he wants you to forsake your idols and to follow him.